Hi, welcome to another inspirational message by Pastor Alex Pappas, Senior Pastor at Oceans Unite Christian Center.
Amen. So it's great to see you this evening. Great to have you out here this evening on this cool Sunday night in Florida. Amen. And this evening I'm going to be talking to you a little bit about prophecy. And I want to start in 1 Corinthians chapter number 14, verse number 1. We'll start there. Now, I'm going to do my best this evening to, I want to just sort some stuff out. Is that okay? Yeah. So, you know, we're going to talk about a few things. We're going to go through a few things. And we're going to see what God has to say about prophecy. We're going to see, because I think many times our perception of prophecy is not necessarily accurate. And the truth is that we're learning. We're all learning. And God will reveal more and more understanding to us as we get closer and closer to the end. Even with prophecy, how can I say that? There's nothing new under the sun. Absolutely not. There is nothing new under the sun. You're absolutely right. But God will begin to reveal His truth to us as we go along. The veil hasn't been removed on certain things. God will show us those things as time goes on. That's why the Bible says in the last days, knowledge will increase. In other words, we will have more knowledge. We will know more. Are you with me? All right. 1 Corinthians 14, chapter number 1, verse number 1. Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands him. However, in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. But he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. We see a dilemma taking place in the church in Corinthians, the Corinth church. And we see that in this church, there's a problem. And the problem is disorder. The problem is people are getting out of control. And we see Paul goes into this church to address what a church that uses spiritual gifts is supposed to look like. That's what he's doing. He's addressing the church and he's saying, listen, these are the guidelines for how the gifts must operate. And specifically in Corinthians 14, we see him give an incredible breakdown about some of the revelatory gifts, tongues, and prophecy. We see him break it down because there must have been, by the way he addresses this particular gift set, there must have been an issue with this gift set. There must have been an issue with tongues, and there must have been an issue with prophecy. Now, if you want to learn about tongues, come to E2. The new E2, and you'll learn all about it. But I want to specifically this morning focus on prophecy. And I want you to take note that Paul is very strong when it comes to speaking to us about desiring to prophesy. In other words, it's a gift that he wants us to use. It's a gift that he wants to see operate in the church. He says, desire spiritual gifts, but especially, in other words, most of all, the gift I want you to use the most, the gift I want to see manifest more than any other gift, is the gift of prophecy. Why? Because, that's why, right over there. Because he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. In other words, prophecy has the ability to encourage someone, to strengthen someone, to give someone hope, to comfort someone in a situation where they need some form of comfort, to give them some form of exhortation or edification. Prophecy can take you out of something where you're struggling in your walk with God, and God gives you a word. That word, just there's one thing that you know that's just between you and Him and can only be from Him. I've prophesied over people, things they said to God in their shower. And it was a simple thing. You asked God this question. And so, I didn't know they were in the shower, I'm just saying. just relax. God didn't show me a shower. I was busy praying and I hear God, you know, you asked God this question. And afterwards, I heard it was in the shower. Okay. I'll put my foot in that one. Okay. All right. Simple thing. But when I said that to that person, guess what? God got their attention. because they know nobody else heard them. They were private in their private space. Are you with me? So prophecy is powerful because it does this. Now, this is supposed to be something that we see evident in church. If you're a Christian and you've never been exposed to prophecy, that's kind of sad because prophecy is so powerful. Now, unfortunately, with like everything else, wherever there's a true, there's a false. So whenever, whatever God does and whatever God wants to do, the enemy always wants to bring in a fake. Now, the opposite of prophecy or a true fake, or in other words, if we had to say, what is the true opposite of prophecy when it comes to darkness, it would be divination or fortune telling. So prophecy is for edification. It's to build up. It's to encourage. It's to strengthen. It doesn't always have to be about the future. It can be, but it doesn't always have to be. Whereas if you go to a fortune teller, what they'll do is they'll tell you all kinds of things that are going to happen. Then what will happen is fear will come in you. And when that fear comes in you, you empower that demon spirit to be activated in your life. Don't go to fortune tellers. They use the power of Satan. They use demonic power. Do you want a word from God or a word from the devil? And by the way, the devil is the father of lies. Oh, but you know, they told me something true. Listen, I can do a whole teaching on what a familiar spirit is and explain to you that a spirit, there are familiar spirits. They know stuff about you. Demon spirits operate in a way that they can see. You can't see them, but they're in a place. Not here. This is too holy. Yeah. Amen. But maybe at your house. I don't know. But what I'm saying is that they can see. They can see things going on. They operate with senses. They just don't have a body. They want a body. Because then if they have a body, they can have their way. But that's not, I didn't come to talk to you about demons. Okay. So, but he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. This is the purpose of prophecy. This is why prophecy was given to the church. And specifically when we talk about the gift of prophecy. Now, the Bible says that there are spiritual gifts, gifts of the Holy Spirit. There are gifts of miracles and healings and faith. There are gifts of tongues and interpretation of tongues. There are gifts of words of wisdom, words of knowledge. And there's the gift of prophecy. So this gift is a gift that has been given to the church to edify the body of Christ. Again, now the church has also many times, there's been all kinds of weird stuff going on and people prophesying all kinds of crazy stuff. And many times a lot of that is negative. And if someone comes up to me and has a negative word to give me, man, I tell you, it's like I'm like a sieve to that prophecy. It goes right through me and out the other side and I never think about it again. Because it doesn't line up with what the Bible says prophecy is. Prophecy is supposed to be exhorting, edifying, and bring comfort. Not tell me about something that's evil. Another thing that prophecy will not do is prophecy will not manipulate you. Prophecy will not control you. I very seldom have I ever seen God say, that's your husband. I'm just being honest. Or God told me. You know how many times God told young ladies about this guy that they're going to marry? It doesn't work that way. Now, God can speak to you. I'm not saying he can't. He can confirm something. But he's not going to use someone to come to you to say, you know, that's not your husband, unless really that's like really critical. But most of the time, he's not going to operate that way. Do you understand what I'm saying, church? He can tell you that your husband's coming and he's going to be, you know, he's going to be this kind of person or something like that. I can't define what God can and cannot say. He can say whatever he wants, but I want you to know, be careful of stuff that isn't accurate. And I'm going to show you how the Bible says we should judge these things. Be careful not to go up to someone and give them a word and say something to them that can actually hurt them. Because you're being insensitive. Well, you know, I don't even want to give you an example. Because I've seen it happen so many times. How people get given a word of something that's going to happen in their lives in this next few months. And when I hear it, I cringe. Because I know that it's absolute rubbish. Are you with me? But encouragement, strengthening, building up, it can only be God. Are you with me? Now, let's go a little bit deeper this morning. We could talk just about that specific thing all night long. But I want to go to the church in Thessalonica. And let me explain what happened in Thessalonica. If you read 1 Thessalonians 4:15 and 2 Thessalonians 2:1 to 17, don't go there because it's going to take me too long. But basically what's happened in the church of Thessalonica is that someone or a group of people had been prophesying that Jesus had already come. The second coming had already come. And basically that the people in Thessalonica had missed it. And you'll see by the writing that Paul is explaining what must happen before the second coming can take place to encourage the church. At the same time, they're very discouraged about prophecy. Because at this point, after Paul's come and begun to make things right, they're like, I don't want to know about prophecy anymore. And so Paul says he has something to say about this. Let's take a look at it. 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 21. When it comes to prophecy or anything spiritual, anything that gets prayed over you, anything that gets declared over you, anything that gets confronted to you in your life as a Christian, anything at all that is spiritual, you must do this. 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 21. Test all things. Did you hear me, church? Listen, it is your responsibility to test everything that comes your way. Even a sermon, even when someone speaks to you at home, when someone gives you a scripture and tells you the interpretation of that scripture, test it. Test it to see if it's true. Pray about it. Speak to God about it. Find out from other people that you know, hear from the Lord. Is this what you feel God is saying? Test everything that comes. Are you with me? Now, the word test in the Greek is the word dokimazo, dokimazo, and it means examine. It means to scrutinize, put to the test, prove, judge as good. You must judge it to be good. So every word, every prophecy, every time someone says anything to you, you must first test it. You must first examine it. Are you with me? Then he says, hold fast what is good. Hold fast what is good. Now that word hold fast is two compound words, kata and echo. And kata means down, echo means embrace or hold. Together it means to firmly hold. So whatever is good, whatever God gives you, a word or a prophecy or something that he gives you, and it's good, he's saying, I want you to hold onto it with all of your heart. I want you to grab a hold of it, hold fast onto it. Are you with me? Then he goes on and he says, test. He says, test all things, hold fast what is good. That word good there is the Greek word kalos. Now, kalos basically means good or in order. And it's interesting that this word is used to basically decipher. This word is used to basically decipher how reliable that word is. It is important for us to be able to decipher whether any word, anything that is spoken to us is good, is true, is from God, or is not. It's very quiet. Amen. Now, there's something that you need to know about prophecy. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 13, verse number 9. Watch this now. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. What does that mean? That means when someone prophesies over you, they don't know your whole life story. They don't know everything that's going to happen. More than likely, they have a small picture or a small idea of something that God wants to give you. So the person prophesying does not have the whole picture. They only get a small piece of it. That small piece, of course, can encourage you, can strengthen you, can build you up. But they don't have the whole puzzle. Oftentimes people will come to me and say, well, you know, tell me more. I'm like, that's all I got. I have no idea. Or they'll come to me and say, you know, you said this, this, and this. I'll go, oh, wow, that's pretty cool. I don't remember that really, but that's great. Why? Because in that moment, I'm hearing from the Spirit. It's not something that I just premeditate on and, you know, just decide to say. It comes normally suddenly. But what I get is only in part. I see very little. Sometimes I've said things to people that make sense to this whole thing. When I'm saying it, I'm thinking, what on earth am I busy saying? But when you get that prophecy, you need to do a few things with it. And understand again that it's only in part. So interpretation is very important. Remember, Daniel even took prophecies that were prophesied by prophets of old, and he went before the Lord with those prophecies and began to pray concerning them. He began to pray for what? For understanding. So if that prophecy you feel in your heart is from the Lord, then go and pray about it so that you can get understanding about it. Another thing about prophecy that I think is very important that I need to say is if God says, listen, son, one day I'm going to turn you into a soul winner. I'm going to turn you into someone that's going to affect your businesses and affect people in your city and stuff like that. And then you do this. Hey, that's awesome, God. Thanks a lot, man. You know, I'm just going to hang around and wait for that to happen. And then when it doesn't happen, yes, you know, God lied. No, listen, brother, you missed it. You're lazy. Or, you know, well, you know, your life might be in a total mess. God comes along like he does with Gideon and tells him, listen, you mighty man of valor. You're thinking to yourself, yes, I'm as far from a mighty man as valor as can be. But let me tell you something about Gideon. Gideon stood up out of the wine press and began to do what God says. What do you do when you get a prophecy? Things might start going wrong for you. You might not be exactly where you're supposed to be. Guess what? Don't stay there. That prophecy was given to you to get you out of it, to tell you about the future, to give you a secret, to give you a mystery about yourself so that you can take that mystery, that secret, and begin to wage a good warfare concerning your life and your future. I've seen it way too many times. And I've been around. I'll never forget this young man. I've never spoken about him before. This young man that I was making videos with. He had the most incredible encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. Literally, like the Lord walked into his room. And he had this incredible encounter, this young man. And there was such great destiny on his life. And I remember when I was around him, it was so hard for me to not prophesy. Because there was just such greatness. There was so much in him. But let me tell you something. He chose not to pursue it. So that's another thing about prophecy. You have a choice. When you get it, what do you do with it? If you feel it's from God, test prophecy. Prophecy must be tested. Always. Always tested. 1 Corinthians 14 verse 29 says this, let two or three prophets speak and let the others judge. So when you get a word from anybody, from me, from anybody, from your cell group leader, from anybody, go to someone else that you know is prophetic. Or if you've seen them be used in the prophetic and say to them, this is what was prophesied over me. What do you think? And they may say to you, man, that's from God. Then you know. Or if they say to you, oh, I'm not sure, I think you should go pray about it. You know, then you might need to go and test it. Pray about it. Are you with me, guys? But don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. If just because sometimes it's not perfect and prophecy isn't perfect, we've seen that. We know that. You must remember, God's trying to get a message to a human being to give you. Guess what? The human being is not perfect. I have seen someone get prophesied over, and I'm telling you, the prophecy is for the person right next to them. It happened to me. Man, the guy's prophesying. In fact, there was this big time preacher. He's holding my hand and this other guy's hand. And he keeps on saying his name, but he's telling my life story. I mean, it's unbelievable. And he's saying his name, and I keep on thinking, brother, you just need to change names right now. Because you've got it right, but just change names. I don't know what the other guy was thinking. I mean, unless we have the same story. I mean, I guess it can happen, you know. But the point I'm trying to make is that stuff like that happens. So guess what I did? I don't know what he did. I know what I did. I took that word. Oh, you better believe I took that word. I never wrote it down, but to this day, I remember almost every word. Now, how does that happen? This happened 6 years ago that this prophecy was given to me. I never wrote it down, but I remember the things that he said about what would happen in my ministry. I remember it. So when God speaks, I know of a minister that ministered, prophesied over Colombia. A powerful prophecy. And there were two men sitting in the service. And he prophesied, and I don't know for sure whether he gave names or not. But I know that there was one man that no one thought would be that one man that he was prophesying about. But he took that prophecy, and this man has had 13 years of revival in Colombia. And if I say revival, I mean revival. I've been there. It's incredible. Absolutely incredible. But what did he do that day? He knew when that word came from the platform, he knew it was his. He knew it. He took it. He claimed it. Nobody else wants it. Guess what? I'll take it. Amen. All right. So just basic principles when it comes to prophecy. Let's look at some more stuff. I want you to understand something before I move on. That prophecy, once you get it, is your responsibility. It's your responsibility to cut it off, to cancel it, to accept it, to pray over it, to fight for it. It's your responsibility. Now, does prophecy always work out, or is it always the way we perceive it? No, definitely not. Can God change his mind? Yes, he definitely can. Now, let me give you the scripture. Let's go to Isaiah 55, verse number 11. Isaiah 55, verse number 11. Let me say this to you before we look at how God does certain things with prophecy. I need to say this. Isaiah 55, 11. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please. Did you see what it says? Did you see what it says? It says it shall accomplish what I please. If you don't listen, that word will still go out and do what it went out to do. God will use the guy right next to you to fulfill that thing that he wanted to do through you if you don't listen. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please. And it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. Listen. If you look at throughout Scripture, and we'll look at two stories tonight where God gives a word. It doesn't quite happen the way we think it's going to happen, but it still happens. It still happens. If God's going to use someone to shake a city, he's going to use that person. And if they're not going to listen, he's going to use someone else. Especially if he says he'll do something. If you're not, listen, you have a choice. I have a choice. I've seen God give promises to marriages, but one person in the marriage decides, no, I'm going to do it my way. Now what? But God promised joy. God promised peace. God promised happiness. It will still happen. It will still happen. Just not the way we think. Okay, let's go on. Are you with me? Let's take a look at Jonah. Jonah's a great story. We all know the story of Jonah. Jonah 1, verse number 2. God says to Jonah, go to Nineveh, and I want you to prophesy over them. They're going to be destroyed. So he says this in verse number 2. Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. We all know what happens. Jonah doesn't listen to God. Jonah decides to go to Tarshish. God ends up having him thrown in the ocean. He ends up being swallowed by a fish and vomited on the beach. When he finally gets on the beach, he's repented to God because he didn't want to listen to God. God speaks to him again. Jonah 3, verse number 2. Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach to it the message that I tell you. Did you hear that? Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh, and I'm going to give you a message. And when you go to Nineveh, you're going to preach that message. Are you ready to see the message? So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, a 3-day journey in extent. And Jonah began to enter the city on the first day's walk. Then he cried out and said, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Whose message is that? That's the message that God gave him to preach. Because you better believe at this point he's not going to disobey God. He's going to preach the message that God gives him. Listen, you spend 3 days in the belly of a whale or some giant fish with all kinds of fish guts and you think you're going to die. You get vomited on the beach. I promise you, you'll preach the right message when you come out. So he gets out on the beach. He wakes up. God says to him, all right, no, Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh. This is what I want you to preach. He goes into the city. He says, listen, in 40 days from now, you're done. You're doomed. It's over. So what does Nineveh do? Nineveh does what we would all do, hopefully. Jonah 3, verse number 5. So the people of Nineveh believed God, proclaimed a fast, and put on sackcloth from the greatest to the least of them. And in Jonah 3:10, this is what it says. Then God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God relented. What does that mean? It means he changed his mind. From the disaster that he had said he would bring upon them. And he did not do it. Now, what some of you do not know is that Jonah's prophecy took place in around 786 to 746 BC. 786 to 746 BC. In 663, there was another prophet. His name was Nahum. Nahum also prophesied about the destruction of Nineveh. In 611 or 612, Nineveh was destroyed by the Babylonians. God may have changed his mind about the destruction, but they still got destroyed. It just didn't happen in 40 days. His word will not return to him void. It will accomplish that it has been sent out to do. But that generation did not see it. But the next generation did not obey, and they got judged. Are you with me, guys? What's the moral of the story? It doesn't always happen the way you think. And our actions will often affect the result of what God has said to you. Are you with me? If that isn't good enough, let's go to another story. Let's go to Isaiah 38, verse number 1. Isaiah 38, verse number 1. In those days, Hezekiah was sick. This is the king. And near death. And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, went to him and said to him. Now watch this. Let's read it together. Well, let me know. You don't read it, but let me come down and read it with you. So I'll be closer to you. Went to him and said to him. Now look. Look at what he says. Look at his choice of words. Thus says the Lord. Now, let me tell you something. In those days, when a prophet said, thus says the Lord, listen, brother, it's happening. If he says you're dead, you're dead. If he says you're blessed, you're blessed. If he says you're going to arrive and there's going to be donkeys and there's going to be people waiting for you and there's going to be musicians with instruments and then you're going to prophesy, guess what? It's going to happen. If a prophet prophesied in the Old Testament like that, brother, it happened. If they were these true prophets, it would happen. Thus says the Lord, set your house in order, you shall die and not live. That's it. In other words, listen, Hezekiah, I know you're old, I know you've summoned me, but I've come to give you the word of the Lord, you're going to die. I'm sorry. There's nothing I can do. That's what God says. Have a nice life. And he turns around and he starts walking out of the the king's palace. He's busy walking out of the king's palace. And while he's walking out of the king's palace, let's see what he does. Then Hezekiah turned his face towards the wall and prayed to the Lord and said, "Remember now, O Lord, I pray, how I have walked before you in truth and with a loyal heart, and have done what is good in your sight." And Hezekiah wept bitterly. And the word of the Lord came to Isaiah, saying, watch this now, "Go and tell Hezekiah, thus says the Lord, the God of David your fathers, I have heard your prayer and I have seen your tears. Surely I will add to your days 15 years. I will deliver you and this city from the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defeat and I will defend this city. And this is a sign to you from the Lord, that the Lord will do this thing which he has spoken." God says to the prophet, he says to him, "Go and tell the king that he's going to die. Thus says the Lord." He goes, "Thus says the Lord, get your house in order, brother. I'm sorry, cheerio, it's time." He begins to walk. He leaves the house. He's out in the palace. He's busy walking. And God says to the prophet, after hearing the cry of Hezekiah, what is it that gets God's attention? God's attention is always received by him when you begin to seek him, when you begin to cry out to him, when you mean business with him. Listen, bitter tears. He's crying out to God. "Listen, God, remember the things I've done for you. Remember the work that I've done for you, that I've committed my heart to you, that I've been a good king, that I've done righteous things in your sight. Remember me, God." So God says, "Okay, Hezekiah, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to add 15 years to your life." Now, let me ask you a question. Did Hezekiah still die? So did God lie? No. It just didn't happen the way we thought. Because something delayed the death. His repentance, his tears, and his sincerity delayed his death. But the prophecy still came to pass. "His word shall not return to him void, but shall accomplish that it has been sent out to do." But remember, church, you have a responsibility when it comes to that word. If you feel in your heart that you know that this is a word from the Lord, you have to fight with that word. I want to say something. I didn't say you must fight over the word. I said you must fight with the word. Amen. 1 Timothy 1:18 says this. "This charge I commit to you, son Timothy." Listen, a charge is a serious thing. In other words, Timothy, this I am charging you. I'm expecting you to do it. You need to step out. You need to be bold. You need to have faith. You need to have good conscience. You need to do this that I'm telling you. "I charge you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that," watch, "by them," not over them, "by them you wage the good warfare, having faith and good conscience." That's powerful right there. Faith that God says everything about you and everything he has said about you will come to pass. That he said and that is put in your heart, Timothy, that you will do in this church that God has given you, the things he's placed in your heart that you must do, you must wage warfare with those things. You must begin to fight. You must begin to believe. You must have faith and good conscience. In other words, don't think that if you're going to start behaving in a way that's inappropriate and that is not God's will for your life, that it's just going to fall into place. Is anybody out there? I remember right in the beginning of my pursuit of God, waiting for a prophecy. Finally, I got one. Because it wasn't that the prophecy was what I was waiting for. I was waiting for confirmation of what was in my heart. God had already put in my heart that I was going to be in full-time ministry, that I would be preaching the gospel. He'd already put it in my heart. The prophecy was confirmation of what was in my heart. So what it was, that prophecy, it was the secrets in my heart being revealed. At the end of Corinthians, that's exactly what he says will happen. The secrets of their heart will be revealed, and falling on their face, they will worship God. And they will say that God is truly among you. So that prophecy that came to me that day, I will never forget it. I cried from the very second he opened his mouth to the very second, actually about an hour after he prophesied over me. Because finally what I'd felt in my heart was confirmed by the Lord. Now let me tell you something. That if I take that prophecy and I break down every word makes sense to me and fits in with my life story. But what I have to tell you is that there are still parts that have not quite come to fulfillment. Now, how do I feel about that? I feel great about it. Because I'm exactly where I believe God wants me to be. I'm doing exactly what I believe He wants me to do. As God takes me on this journey, and things come against us, or I have to move to another level. In other words, we have to do more for the kingdom. We have to start other churches. We have to do stuff. What am I going to do with the prophecies that have been given to me? I'm going to wage warfare. Amen. Now, if you have to wage warfare concerning your prophecies and concerning the things that your prophecies have spoken over you, what does that mean? Why should we do that? Why should it matter? They're prophecies. Because the enemy doesn't want you to inherit what God has for you. And that goes way beyond your prophecies. Way, way, way beyond. But while you're going through it, they will edify you again. They will build you up again. They will console you again. And you'll be able to wage war against the enemy to get to where God wants you to get. See, the prophecy is not your eternal destiny. It's a part. It's part of your journey. It's part of your story. But there's so much more of what God has for you. God wants to get you to go from faith to faith and from glory to glory. He wants to edify you. He wants to console you. He wants to exhort you. He wants to bless you because He loves you. And sometimes we just need a little bit of hope. That's why the body of Christ needs each other. Because God uses the body to minister to itself. That's why church is so important. People don't want to go to church. Well, you're going to miss out on so many things that happen in church. Do you know that when Jacob has his vision, he has the vision and the angels are ascending and descending. And when he has this vision, he calls that place Bethel, which means the house of the Lord. In the house of the Lord, there are certain things that will only happen in the house of the Lord. That's why the Bible says, do not neglect the gathering of the saints. You need to come together as a church. We need to minister one to another. We need to edify each other. We need to build each other up. But we don't need to be flaky. And listen to me. If I hear you give someone some random flaky prophecy, I'm coming for you. Are you with me? Now, that doesn't mean that you'll never make a mistake. Because guess what? You can make a mistake. You are only human. Let me tell you something. There's not one service, you can ask my wife, when I prophesy, and I don't go home afterwards and seek the Lord about all those prophecies. I never want to miss it. So now because I don't want to miss it, does that mean I mustn't do it? Absolutely not. I have to be bold. I have to step out. But how do I know that I can? Because I know Him. I have a relationship with Him. I have an intimate relationship with Him. And so out of my relationship, the gifts of the Spirit will flow. Not everybody gets used the same way. Everybody gets used differently. Not everybody will prophesy. Some will. A lot of you will. Most of you can, you just don't know it. But God will use us all in different ways and in different capacities when it comes to that. You have no idea sometimes how one little phone call to someone that gets put on your heart will change their life forever, literally. In that moment, they needed that phone call. They needed to hear from God. And you phoned them and said, hey, I've really just been feeling like I needed to call you. Well, how did you feel that way? How is it that you suddenly felt that you needed to make that phone call? You phone your friend. And how is it that that moment that they needed to hear from somebody? Have you thought about it? Did you know that when that happened, you were hearing from God? You see, the problem is you all want to hear from God audibly. But God doesn't speak that way most of the time because he's a spirit. So if he's a spirit, how does he speak? Most of the time, he speaks spirit. And your mind can't understand that. So who does he speak to? Your spirit. The problem is we can't hear our spirit because we're so busy hearing our mind. So how do you hear your spirit? You have to build your spirit up. Are you with me? God wants us to be more spiritual. He says so in 1 Corinthians 14, verse number 1. When he says pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, actually the word gifts in the original language isn't there. It's italicized in your Bible. Go check. When a word's italicized in your Bible, that means it's not there in the original language. So what is God actually saying? Desire spiritual. What does that mean? To be spiritual. Why do you think he wants us to worship him in spirit and truth? Because true worship comes from the heart, from inside, from your spirit. It doesn't come from the outside, although the outside responds to the spirit. There's nothing better than getting your spirit, your soul, and your body in line with worship. Then it's powerful. Are you guys with me this morning? Or this evening? It's morning somewhere. Always happens at night. Wage warfare with the things that God has said to you. And as you go through the different things, the different challenges, the different things that the enemy will throw against you, that's when you fight. Because you know what God has said about you. That's when you go for it more than ever to get you to exactly where you're supposed to be. What should we do? Where do we start? I taught you this morning. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Then everything else will be added to you. It starts by us making a decision to seek God with everything. If you don't seek him, you don't find him. If you don't knock, the door won't be opened. And let me tell you something. There is a lot of knocking that takes place when it comes to the things of God. Paul says an effectual door has gone open. If it's just gone open, it must have previously been closed. That's how I think, you see. Because it wasn't open before, but it's now gone open. So how did it go open? There must have been something that caused it to go open. What causes it to go open? Seeking the Lord. Going after him. Then God takes you into another dimension. Paul makes a statement. He says, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. But I know a man who went to the fourth heaven. In other words, Paul has this experience, whether in the body or out of the body, we do not know because we know he's talking about himself. And he has this major encounter in heaven. But Paul clearly, through scripture, especially Corinthians 14, makes it very, very clear that he's very serious about pursuing being a spiritual man. Going after the spiritual things. Why? Because he knows that in his own strength and with the strength of man and wisdom, words of wisdom, he will not change anything. The only way that he can truly see lives change is when we go onto the other side, the spiritual side. That's when we see true power. That's when we see true change. Are you guys with me? Amen. Let's pray. Father, this evening in this place, we are so thankful to you. And Lord, it's my desire, it's our desire. I know it's our desire as a church to go after everything that you have for us. Lord, there's been a lot of abuse when it comes to the gifts of the Spirit. Some abuse with terrible motives. But Father, as a church, we desire to seek after the kingdom, to seek after you. And we desire to seek after righteousness. You see, it's our desire to do it, Father, in truth. Like you said with Timothy, that he should have faith and a good conscience. Father, let us have a good conscience when we minister, when we pursue the things of God, knowing well that it's our heart's desire to seek you first and not allow the things of this world to overtake us, so that we cannot even be told whether we're in the world or not. Our behavior, our speech, is it worldly or is it not? Are we following you or are we not following you? And so I pray, Father, that in this place, those that have received words from you, and I'm going to say that again, words from you, from your throne room, that, Lord, you would bring them to pass in their lives, that you would strengthen them, that you would encourage them, that you would exhort them, that you would console them, that you would bless them. I pray, Lord, that we would become even more hungry for the spiritual things of God, that we would become more hungry for your spiritual things. I pray, Lord, that the eyes of our understanding would be enlightened, that we would begin to see and begin to know those things that have freely been given to us, because your Holy Spirit dwells on the inside of us. This is our desire, to seek you, to come after you, to hunger for you, to thirst for you. I thank you that your presence is in this place tonight. There's no hype. There's no hype. There's no nothing but just your word, Father. And we desire to understand prophecy more, to understand your desire, your heart more when it comes to these things, so that, Father, we can be effective ministers, so that we will not be like Alexander the coppersmith, that we will not lose our way and begin to speak all kinds of false doctrines and begin to teach all kinds of things that just are not true, Father, for our own personal gain. But rather, Lord, that we would speak words that would speak life, edification, and comfort to men. And so I give you thanks and I give you praise this evening. I thank you for these precious people. I thank you for their lives. I give you all the glory and the honor for their lives. Now I ask, Lord, with 1 week of preparation left before we go into the Holy Spirit Fire Conference, that you would prepare our hearts, that you would prepare our minds, that you would prepare our bodies. And that, Father, you would move mightily, mightily in this place.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching. For more teaching like this and other material, please visit our website at www.oceansunite.com.